Marriage and Family Wednesday night. Woo! Anybody ever have to fight to get to a Wednesday night? Anybody in here ever have to fight to get to a Wednesday night? Tell you what, let me tell you this. It's worth the fight, all right? It's worth the fight. We're going to be talking tonight on something about valuing the right piece. I got this on my... You know, you ever just have that, just you always carry your phone for some reason? It's like glued to you. But valuing the right piece. How many of you know it's easy to value the wrong piece? And we could spell peace with the I-E-C-E, as in the right piece. But we're going to talk about valuing the right piece as in peace, E-A-C-E, like the Prince of Peace, like having everything right in your life. But by valuing the right piece, I really mean between those two. You know, between the peace, a wholeness in our life, having peace in our hearts, not just having another peace to our spread or our home, you know. How many of you know, sometimes we were just down in South Lake, or in Texas, and we were in South Lake a little bit, which South Lake is kind of uppity. I don't know if you know what I mean by uppity. Kind of upscale, a lot of really nice cars and giant homes that are built on lots about the size of this inside sanctuary. You know, there's like 8,000 square foot of a home built on some spot like this. And there's a lot of pieces. Like, you see all these different pieces. You're like, oh my goodness, that Land Rover and that Jaguar and that and that and that and that. And there's all these different, you know, really expensive pieces so you could say things. And so, but valuing the right piece or valuing the right thing or valuing the right piece. And it's really easy to value the wrong things. Matter of fact, it's easy to, what you talk about is actually what you value. You know, and this is just a side note before we get into our notes. But oftentimes, I really wanted to teach on esteeming tonight, but I would change and went whoop over here. But how often do we value something? Do we value our wives, or do we value that, you know, as you're dating and you were to ask a question, is there anything you don't like about Landon, your boyfriend? You know, if I was to ask you that, and you'd say, tell me all the things you like, Courtney, and you'd say, well, he's buff, and he's good looking, and you know, you'd have this list. Now, let's go back to high school days, right? I know he can shoot. He's athletic. I mean, when he plays, he just flow. I mean, she'd be like writing all these down. She'd have like 14 pages of what's so great about Landon, and he would about Court or Courtney. He'd say, oh, you know, she's like this, and you know, their eyes would be full of stars, you know, like, oh, and you know, and it was Courtney instead of Courtney Odom. It was Courtney Parker. She was doodling her name, you know. I think Landon might have even done her last. No, he's just kidding. He didn't. He's not here, so I can mess with him. But then if you were to ask them, so what do you not like? I just don't think there's anything, right? How many of you know, like, in those beginning stages, and then it's not even just a few months later, right? It's like, it's that easy because of what you're talking about, what you're valuing, the way you're living, what you're looking at. And I would say this, so often we look at things, we look at our spouses, we look at our family, and we don't look at the things that are valuable. Instead, we put our eyes on the things that aren't valuable. And so that we make those things so much bigger until that's all they become. And then no longer do we carry words out of our mouth that are praise. Listen, that stills the enemy, because the enemy, more than anything else, wants to cut down the image of your wife, of your husband, of your children in your eyes. He wants to cut that down, because if he can belittle them and he can get you to talk down to them and talk less of them, it literally will destroy them. And so anyway, so just what are we looking at? So I just say, we got to make sure we're looking at the right things, desiring the right things. And that's why it kind of ties into this, you know, going into chasing after the right things. And sometimes we miss the things that we really value, chasing something else that we call valuable. But really, if we were to put them up next to each other, if I was to say the hunting weekend, okay, and let's just put, and we can't make right decisions, and we'll get to this in a moment, but we can't make right decisions if we're always thinking about now. We will only make correct decisions if we're thinking about the future. Now, if you think about the future and you think about a hunting weekend and you're all like, I don't like hunting, well, whatever you like, okay? Put that as a weekend, and then you could have a weekend, like just a wonderful weekend with your family. And you come back, and what if it was all gone? What if what you left and you said that's not that important was gone, and you come back and your wife no longer is there? Maybe something happened, some freak happened, right? What would you think? I chose the wrong thing. Wouldn't you think that? If I went away for the week, you know, and it was a stress, and it was just like, you know, how many of you ever had done that? You know, you wanted to go on that thing, and you left on an argument, or you're like, maybe it was like we're in agreement, but we're really not in agreement, and it's just like, ah. And so you go, and I've even had one time where I had to turn her back around, and not recently, but I remember one time I actually had to turn back around because I wouldn't enjoy myself because I wasn't at peace and she wasn't at peace. But how often is it that and that's an extreme moment to say, oh, all of a sudden they're gone. But how often is it that we choose something that's not valuable over something that is valuable when the one, like whether it's your children or your wife or whatever it might be, really wants you there? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever really wanted your spouse there and something else came up and they said, no, this is actually more important to you? And because you love them, you understand. But what has happened really is we chose the wrong thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now there's times, you know, you say, hey, honey, I want you to go have a good time. But there are times, and I'm not talking about being selfish. I'm just talking about what's right and what's valuable and esteeming things properly. And if we kept the right words in our mouth about how much we love them, how thankful we are for them, I believe we'd have the right value for them. It would cause us to make the right decisions. And so all I'm saying is because we start looking at the things that aren't right and we start, you know, talking about the negative things, the value when they were up here, now you wouldn't have done anything if you could be with Landon that weekend. Now I'll go do whatever because the value of them goes down. Now what happens is we begin to make decisions with them right here and everything else is about even scale and we miss the moments that God designed for us to have. With our children is the same way. All right? Because, you know, they're just whining. I just need to get away from them. I just need to get away from them. All they do is this. All they do is that. All they do is that. Is that really all they do? Because I thought when they brought you that flower, when you were having a bad day, and it just melted your heart, when they said, Mommy, I love you, and you thought you looked like, you know, like your hair was everywhere, and they say, oh, your hair is beautiful, what did that do for you? You know, it's so easy to say all they ever do. And who's the one that's behind that? Satan. Because he wants to cut down. He is what we talked about a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. He's the slander. And he wants to cut down people. He wants to cut us down. Anyway, so anyway, valuing the right peace. We're going to talk about, that's going to be the title of this tonight's message, valuing the right peace. And, you know, part of every home, and so we're talking about tonight in this marriage and family Wednesday night, we're talking about marriage and family, both. But in every home, every successful home, every home that has it going on, not just on Facebook, but I'm talking about the highlight reels match the behind the scenes as far as what is there. Yeah. Every successful home, every background of every successful home has this one thing in common, and it's called peace. Peace. You ever walk into a home and you can tell? You just arrived to somebody's party, and you can tell there's tension in the air. Did you know that peace is something you can sense in the air? You can walk into a home. You can walk into a church, and you can go, or you can go, I just got to get out of here. How many know what I'm talking about? You can sense it. It's the underlying, it's what's underneath everything. A while back, I taught a series in Making a House a Home, and I talked about and I'm going to use this as an example, but how really what's never noticed in a painting is the canvas. Nobody ever goes, that's a nice canvas. Nice canvas you got there, right? Those keys yours, both of them? No, nobody ever noticed. I don't know where that came from. But nobody says, man, that's a good-looking canvas. What do they say? Wow, those flowers, that's gorgeous, that sunset. That. But, you know, it was always... The very thing, the underlying thing of it all, it doesn't get mentioned a lot, doesn't get talked about a lot. We don't talk about how to get that peace. you know, so that we can make the right decisions. Because if we have peace, we're not going to be chasing all the other pieces. And if we're not chasing all the other pieces, that's because we have what we need, what we want. We have this peace, right? And I found that really which peace would be defined as wholeness, completeness in the home. To have that at our home, we have to realize that we have all that we need. And you're saying, what are you talking about? I have all that I need. I really need this. I really need this. I really need this. I really need this. I'm going to give you a scripture here, and then we're going to come back to this here in a minute. But the Bible tells us, this is in Ephesians. Let me pull it up here further down. Make sure you get the right verse. That God is not a God of disorder, but that he is a God of peace. He's not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And this is in actually Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I was looking for Ephesians for some reason. That's why I scanned right over it. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So that tells me this. And this is the moment. This scripture is written to the church of Corinth when there was a lot of gifts of the Spirit going on, and in services there's speaking in tongues, and then there's somebody would maybe not even interpret, and then there would be somebody that was up there, and then it would break out over here and over here and over here and over here, and it just got confusing. And the work of God, which would be to go into all the world and preach the gospel, was being hampered, if you will, because of confusion. Because you can't just bring somebody into something that has no clue about it and not bring them up to speed and have them benefit, right? You can't. And so anyway, so here he's talking. He says, "Hey guys, God is not a God of disorder. He's the God of peace." And what he's saying here is that he's the God of peace. He's saying that God's not a God of disorder. God has a plan. For every service, he has a plan. For every moment, he has a plan. And so that would tell me this. If God's not a God of disorder, but he is a God of peace, he has the whole thing in mind, okay? He has the whole peace in view. That tells me this, that when you have the whole peace, or you have the whole plan in view, that brings peace. But what happens is we're looking at this little piece over here instead of the whole plan, which brings peace. And we say, I'm not happy because I don't have that new golf club. And you might be here and you might not be married. You might be ready to start a family. I don't have that hot man. I don't have that cute lady. I don't have that car. I don't have that house. I don't have those granite countertops. I don't have whatever piece you might. I don't have that new toy. And we change what happened. So because we don't have that, and our eyes are all on that, we begin to set all of our course, all of our direction, all of our efforts. We'll take on more hours. We'll do more because we're valuing that peace rather than this peace or what brings peace, the wholeness. And I know this sounds silly, like we're talking about family, but like unless we have peace in our homes, guys, we don't have anything. We can't even start a picture. We talked about the picture perfect, a few weeks ago, just having and having a picture perfect marriage, how it's possible, But if we don't have this underlying theme of peace in our home, we have nothing. If it's always about getting the new bow, okay, I believe I'm past that. I like having a new bow, but I remember there was a time it was like, I'm just not happy with the one I have. It's 2 years old. And the improvements that are making nowadays, it's like technology, right? It's like having an iPhone 3 when there's an iPhone. Is there sevens now, right? Sixes? Sevens. So there's sevens, right? So it's like you just feel like you show up to the races and you're like, oh, yeah. And they're like, Marco Polo. And you're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't work on my phone or whatever it might be. They're like, hey, check out this camera zoom lens thing. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, don't got that either. Anyway, and they're like, oh, I have one pin for my 20 and 30 yard, third 20. I'm like, oh, yeah, I have like four pins. I got to have one at 15 and one at 20 and one at 20, And so you feel discontent because you begin to look at other people's things and this one piece. And then everything you do, you think that discontentment sets in. And on everything. And because you're discontent about not having the bow, and I'm just going to use that example from for me, then what happens is you come home, and because you're not whole, nothing in your life can complete you. Not even the Lord, because of what your eyes are set. Nothing. Your wife can't cook dinner right, even if it was wonderful. Or it might be good, but it wasn't, you didn't give it the appreciation and the value that it should have had because you're discontent. Your children come home from school and they want to hang with you, but you know what? I just would rather do more research on how to get this or what this is about or whatever it might be. You know what I'm talking about? Because we're looking after the wrong piece. But God, He's not a God of disorder. He is a God of peace. He is a God that has the whole plan, and that whole plan brings peace. So now I want to just begin to unfold what the Bible says about what God says about us. And so here's the deal. We have to have, if we're going to have peace in our lives, we have to understand that God has a plan for our lives. And that needs to be in our mouth more than a bunch of other pieces that we're desiring. And it says this, Psalms 8 verse 4, it says, what is mankind that you're mindful of him, of them? Human beings that you care for them. Like, so here they're saying, okay, who is man that you have thought about him, that you have made things? The Bible says that he prepared good things before we were created so that we could walk in them. And now here the angels are asking the Lord, who is this man? Like, what is humanity? What is mankind that you would send your only son? Like, what is it that everything about you seems to be about man? I don't get this. Like, and so we have to understand, number one, we are important. We're so important. Just say that with me. Say, I'm important. You know who you're important to, more important than anything? The Lord. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there wasn't anything that could pay the payment. You can't, there is no thing created that could pay the price of man. There's not enough gold for a man. Not enough gold. Not enough anything for one man. There's nothing. You can't get enough horses. You can't get enough gold. You can't get enough emeralds and rubies and pearls. You can't. The only thing that could pay the price for one man was the blood of Jesus. And God valued you that much. Listen, if He values you and I that much, surely He's thought of our future. But He says, what is man that you're mindful of? In Ephesians 2, 6 through 7, it says, for He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus, so that God can point to us in all future ages as examples of His incredible wealth, of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. He says, you know what I was created for? You know what you were created for? For God to be good to. That's it. If we can settle that in our heart, that's the plan. So I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. Thoughts, plans to be good for you, or help me out. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What? Plans to prosper you. Plans that are filled with hope to bring you to an expected end, right? That sounds like a plan, the end. He always does it with the end in mind. That God always thinks the end from the beginning. We always think, okay, I'm here. How do I get there? He's always like, I know where I'm going, and we'll go backwards. Okay? And so this is what He says. So He's that good. He created this to be good. You remember, what did He do on day one? He created, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And what did He do? He put man. So if we could get that down, if we could understand that, and more than anything else, if we could remember, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, hey, seek first me, the kingdom of God. Hey, all those things, I got them. I got the plan. But I'm just not happy because I just don't have this, and this just doesn't seem to be coming in. And I'm just so frustrated because this seems to keep always happening. And if I just had more of this, and if I just had that, and I just had that, and my eyes are on the now and what's happening, instead of I begin to make decisions on what the pieces I'm seemingly missing, instead of realizing the plan that my God has for me and that every good gift comes from Him. So I can try to create something, but the Bible says it's the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it, right? So, okay, so let's keep on going. And we're going to talk about where it says, teach us to number our days so that we can live and live wisely, so that we can be rich, all right? But we're going to keep on going along these lines. But he wants us to know that there's more than tomorrow. And he wants us to know that about our children. Like, your decisions about letting them go to that friend's house because they're going to throw a fit, and you don't have peace about it in your heart, but you don't want to be seen as the prude of your friends. I don't know if that prude, I don't mean sexual or anything like that. What I mean is the holier than thou, oh, you're not good enough for my children at your house feel. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about? If you don't, let me just tell you, you're not supposed to let your kids go to just anybody's house. Whether they pout or not, whether they're, well, my friends, and it doesn't matter. There's more than tomorrow.
Right.
We're thinking about their future. Yeah. But if we're only thinking about now, and we don't know that our days are done, they're to be numbered, then guess what? We're going to be making the wrong choices. All right. So all this is really helpful for our whole family, but for our marriage and all of it. All right. Okay. So let's see here. All right, so we know that God created us to be good. His plans for us are always good. His plans are always designed to bring us good, to bring us hope. God's plans, when you look at God's plans, hope rises. And you know, when I get that peace that I think I always wanted, right? That when I get the brand new bow, it's just a matter of moments, and it's not as good anymore. It's not what, you know what I'm talking about? But God's plans, and his plans are always, the Bible says he orders the steps of the righteous. And so that means that I'm always walking. And so that means that God's plans, that they're always something to walk in. It's always a picture of hope in front of me. Like, God always wants to speak to me, and he wants to speak to me about how he wants to be good, about my future, and it's full of hope. Proverbs 4:18 tells us that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter. That's my path. Say, that's my path. That's my path. That's my path. It's getting bright, guys. Ha ha! Right? It's getting bright. Listen, there's things that God created you to have a desire for. We got to stop apologizing. I was telling Ev, we were down in South Lake, and I was like, God, something, like, there's part of me, and we were sitting in the car, and there's all these, like, really fancy cars around, And actually, I just kind of got slapped in the face by somebody, and the Lord dealt with my heart on the deal. Let me just back up. So here we are. We went to this restaurant called Trio. I think it was called Trio. Anyway, it's just like this little place. We met Jeremy and Sarah for lunch. Jeremy and Sarah Pearson's in. So we went out to eat with them, and it was just this little cute little sandwich shop. And so we are walking out, and I'm helping Jeremy get some car seats rearranged because we're going to go take a look at this new house that they're going to be getting, or a house that they just are recently about ready to move into. And so we're like, oh, that's cool. And it was just had some little acreage, you know, and it was, anyway, just really cool to find a piece of property like that in Dallas, right? Because anyway, so here we are, and I'm walking out the door, and here comes a lady, right? And she's like dressed to the hilt, you know, mini skirt. You know, on her phone, like makeup, it's like business woman, like, you know, whatever, right? And so I got like t-shirt and jeans on. I'm about dressed like I am now, right? I'm like not like really fancy businessy, right? Just kind of me, right? And just me, right? And so I walk out the door, and she's coming, and Jeremy had already kind of went out, and I thought, oh, I'll hold the door for her. And this is how can you hold the door for me? Just right there. Hold the door for me. So just like, where are you holding the door? Yeah. There you go. I was like, you so snubbed me. And I thought, I wish I could have slammed that door and knocked you in the face, you know? Because it was so disrespectfully rude the way that she saw that I actually went back to open the door for her. And then she just, like, you owe me. And then the Lord said, you do. After I got a little bit upset, he said, you do. You do owe her. He said, and we had been talking about the scripture, let each one esteem each other better than themselves. And you just put yourself over here, even though you opened the door because you were upset. when she didn't not respond, not even just go like a nod, but instead just gave me the nose. Up your nose with a rubber hose, right? Oh, I don't know. Like, it just made you so, like, and the Lord was speaking to my heart. Anyway. And so typically, okay, this is a stereotype. The stereotype would be this. Lots of money, nice things, nice clothes, no honor, no value for anyone but yourself. Anyway, and so I was, we got in the car after that, and I didn't even tell Evan about this. I was, because the Lord corrected my heart so quick, and I was just like, I'm not going to say anything, because I know if I say anything, I'm in the wrong, so why talk about how wrong I am, right? So I began to talk about this instead. I said, you know, sometimes I wonder, I don't even know how to explain this, but part of me wants good things. Like, okay, all of me wants good things, but part of me feels bad for wanting it. You know, that's why I'm having this conversation. And she goes, why? And I was like, I don't know. And she said, that God did, you know, and we began to have this conversation. I said, I know, that's so the devil. I guess it's because I don't want to be like those that have nice things typically. And, you know, after, I don't want to be that. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that was just so rubbed me the wrong way. And, but what's interesting is that God created you and me to desire nice things. Now, you might not like the Lexus. You might not like the BMW. You might want the Ford souped up, Ford truck, F-250, whatever. You might not want that. You might want the little car. You might not want the big house. You might want the nice little cabin in the woods on some acreage with the everything. Not, listen, nice though. It's your, what you consider, what you value nice. But God created us to want that. So he put those desires in our heart. So you know what? Want it. You got to want it. You do. You need to want it. But here's the thing. So you desire that. Desire that. That's a good thing. These are good things. But understand how to get it is the most important thing. And that is keeping his plan, his picture in front. Because he wants to add to us. He wants to add, and he doesn't want you to lose your time with your children, the time with your wife, the time. Let me tell you, you don't have to go hunting every weekend of the year or every weeknight of the year to get a big buck. You can go a couple of times and on the Lord's direction, and you can kill more big deer in 1 year than you could have if you hunted every night. So what is it? Keeping his eyes, keeping his plan in mind, and he'll make one rich and he'll add no sorrow with it. That's what his desire is. Anyway, his plans for you are always good. God's plans are always designed to bring us good. All right, let's keep on going. So we're talking about peace and peace, and peace is a product of plans, right? Peace is a product of plans. But often what we begin to talk about is not the plans. How many of you know when you talk about the plans of building, maybe you're going to build a house or where you're going to go on vacation. It's like, oh, and we're going to have, oh, this over here is going to be the dining room. Oh, and this over here, I'm actually standing in our shower right here. And it has double shower heads. Oh my gosh, it's so cool. And then over here, oh, this is the boys' room. And they're going to have this and this and this, right? Or you might be talking to somebody, oh yeah, we're going to Florida this year. And when we go to Florida, we're staying in this place. Oh, you got to see it. Here, let me show you. Oh yeah, look at it. Won't this be cute? You can see the ocean right from the balcony. I mean, we're not right on it, but like you can see it and there's a pool right there. So we got the best of both worlds, right? When you talk about plans, hope rises. But so often we just talk about now. Like, all I see right now is, even though the plans are to go to the vacation, I'm really upset about this right here. And it just kills all joy, kills all peace, literally takes peace out of the atmosphere. When you start complaining about now, when you start complaining about what you don't have, instead of remembering the plans and his plans for me are good, and everything he does for me is good, and every good gift comes from him. Let's talk about the plan. So, talk about the plans, not the now. Talk about the plans. Plans should always be on our lips. as a family. Talk about the plans. You know what plans are? Vision. Vision's a good thing. What's your plans for your family? You better get some summer plans. You better get some plans. Well, I don't have no plans. We don't have any money for the summer. You can't go get a snow cone and go down to Alma Lake. You can't go, seriously. What can you not do? Well, I can't. No, you can. You better get some plans so you can start talking about how great it's going to be. And let some hope rise in your children's heart. Let some hope. We're going to go out on a date at the end of this month. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go up to our old parking spot. Okay? You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have a bunch of money to go to fly to Cancun. Go park at the Overlook and pack some whatever you used to have as a kid. Get some Milk Duds, some sweet tarts, whatever, because you're such a sweetheart, you know. Whatever you got to do. Plan something. And get some hope. I'm just saying. All right. So don't tell us you can't plan. We're going on a canoe trip this year over to the Buffalo. And I'm excited about it. Anyway. All right. But anyway, so. All right. So how many of you know, you know what else, what comes with plans? Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Joy comes with plans because you know where you're going. You know it's going to be good. Well, his plans for you are good. So why is there not joy? Because you're talking to the wrong people. Okay, we're going to talk about this. So he tells us, enter his gates. This is Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter his gates. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Listen. If you want to live in a place, because it's so easy to talk about the plans of tomorrow, like in how great it's going to be, and then just a moment go into some dark hole about how there's not enough for this or that or this or that or that. You know what I'm talking about? It's like this. I mean, and usually it's like, woo, yeah, you know? And you just kind of slide there for a little while until somebody catches your eyes, or maybe it's you get to church, or you have a faith buddy that says something, or maybe you laugh at something and it kind of gets you up just a little bit and you kind of coast until you get another hump. That's not God's best. And because I'm not whole in those moments, something's missing, I can't give all that I'm created to be to my children. I can't be the father that I was meant to be. I can't teach and train like I'm supposed to. I can't be the husband. I can't be what I'm called to be because I'm not all of me. Anyway, so if I don't want to live up and down, if I want to live in a constant place of light, praise and thanksgiving must be on my mouth. If praise and thanksgiving are on my mouth, I will only be in his presence. You know, in his presence, there's no darkness at all. It's only light. You want to live in a light place? Praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving about what? The plan. What's the plan? Go look. We read 4 or 5 scriptures, but go look. And let that plan be the plan. But then Habakkuk chapter 1 or 2 verse 1 tells us to, before you write your plan, find out what he's saying about it. Get up on the tower. Find out, get in his presence. Find out what he's saying. But anyway, if you want to live in a place of constant light, thanksgiving and praise must be in our mouth. You know what the other thing is really cool? So Psalms 100, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Enter his courts with praise. How do you know that you can actually live there? Because gates must be hung on a what? A wall or a hinge, right? A hinge must be hung on a wall. So guess what? This tells me this, the place that I go into, where I enter his gates, it's like that secret place. It's that fortified city. It's that place of a strong tower. It's a high place. It's like I can come into this place, I can enter the gates. The gates are the only access. So I can access this place that is surrounded by walls, that my strength is no longer in myself, but it's in him. And it's because of giving him praise, and it keeps me in this place where I'm secure. It's like under that shadow of the Almighty, Psalms 91. It's that secret place. I love that. All right. So this. So go. God has plans for you. Did you know that? God has plans for you. So how are we going to live in the presence of God? What are God's plans for you? Here's your plans. Like, here's like a to-do list, a 1, 2, 3. Are you ready? And we got 2 1-2-3s tonight. 2 1-2-3s tonight. All right. See that? Hooked on. No, that's not hooked on phonics. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. I love this. I actually memorized these scriptures. Went to a Christian school in high school, and you had to memorize one verse a week. And, you know, being the spiritual gentleman that I was, I remembered 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 5:17, and there was one that was Jesus wept, and there's a few other. Anyway, so, you know, because it was like one of those you could just pick up real quick and take your test and get 100%. All right. I know it's terrible. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, rejoice always. This is God's plan for you. This is his will for you. This is what you're to be doing right now. Rejoice always. Hey, somebody rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not saying rejoice because you're sick. I'm saying rejoice because you have a healer. I'm not saying rejoice because you don't have enough. I'm saying rejoice because you serve a God that created all of it. Listen, you don't rejoice in the problem. You rejoice that you have the answer. And he's the name above every name. His name's Jesus. So rejoice. And then he says, pray without ceasing. And then give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what God's will? You want to know what God's plan for you is? This is how it starts. This is like 1, 2, 3. And this isn't just 1, 2, 3. This is 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104. And this is like everything else is details. The peace is not the main thing. That's just a detail. That's just what he adds to you. Okay, and so I want to talk about what does that look like? 1, 2, 3, rejoice, pray without ceasing. And then what did he say? He said, give thanks. Rejoice, pray without ceasing, give thanks. In simple put, three things would be this. What are you celebrating right now? So you want to have peace in your home? You want to have peace in eight? You want peace in your home? Stop complaining. Start celebrating. You want to esteem your wife better? You want to have peace in your home? Stop complaining about how she didn't. And how, don't you know, woman, don't you know that you're supposed to honor the husband? Or wife say, don't you know you're supposed to love me like Christ loves the church? I don't see no Christ in that, right? And I was listening to Brother Keith Moore the other night, and he said, it says, wives do this. So if it says wives do that, God's not talking to you, husbands. Yeah, that's right. So butt out. This conversation is between the wives and the father. So when it says wives do this for the husband, you don't get to come into this conversation. This is an A-B conversation, so you better see your way out, right? Listen, but the same is true for husbands. It says, husbands, so ought you ought to love your wives. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 through 31 or 33. It tells us that husbands, love your wives. Lay your lives down. All these kind of things. Wives, this is not for you to say you're not doing this right and you're not doing this right and you're not doing that right. No. Stop complaining and start rejoicing that they picked up their underwear off the floor for one time this week. Hey, thank you for picking up your underwear off the floor. I see some people going, hey. Anyway, rejoice about something, all right? Celebrate. So here's the deal. Rejoice always. That's what it was. Rejoice always. Or what are you celebrating? This is what I'd ask you. If you want to get peace in your home, what are you celebrating right now? What are you celebrating about your children? Are you just upset that they're not getting it at school? Are you just upset that they're getting in detention at school? Are you just upset about what happened with that girl the other night? Are you just upset about how they're smoking weed? Are you just upset about this? Or listen, you can get upset all you want, but you're not going to have God's plan in your life. You're going to have to start rejoicing about some things and calling out the good in them. And literally, it's supernatural how esteeming somebody, just like when they esteem Jesus, what was in him, listen, I know when things aren't going right, there's so much good in that child. And they might be making just the stinkiest, dumbest decisions. But there's so much good in there. Just like there was so much good in Jesus. And if we would esteem them and not just talk down to them and call out the good in them and begin to celebrate the things that are good in them. I'm not saying you keep, that you can just live however and doesn't have to go punish. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying celebrate them. Celebrate. So what are you celebrating right now? So rejoice always. What are you celebrating? If you want to get peace in your life, what are you celebrating? And then pray always. Who are you talking with? This is a good one. Who are you talking with, guys? Are you talking with your Facebook friends and just telling Facebook, which really Facebook, you tell Facebook because you think Facebook's a friend because all your friends are going to like a comment, which all of them are really thinking, I wish you'd just shut up. No, for real. Like after 14 times of something or, you know, it's like, I love you, I'll call you. But after a while, it's like, why do you keep talking? Because it's just, you're just, it's like shoveling. Like, you don't want to be in the hole. Stop. Stop digging. Just stop. Just stop. Hey, come hang out with me. No, I don't want to hang out with you. Hey, there's help. No, I don't want help. I just want to complain. I just want to complain about my wife. I just want to complain about my children. I just want to complain about my job. I just want to complain about this. I just want to... You're talking with the wrong people. Are you talking with that friend that everything always seems to go south? Is what you're talking... Who are you talking with? We're supposed to be talking with him. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to celebrate this. But then you know what? It says, let your requests be made known to him. If you're going to complain to somebody, complain to God. Seriously, though. Complain to him. God, this is what's going on. And this is what's going on. And guess what? He'll start talking to you. And he'll say, he might say, just lay it out there. He might just say, hey, just so you know. And it'll be so clear. I love you. It all of a sudden, everything else will just melt away. In a way that only he can. He'll show you in some way his strength, or whatever it might be. But complain to God. In other words, let your requests be made known to him. Pray to him, not to your friend or your mom or your dad. To him. And guess what? You won't stay in the pit. Because his job, he said, he took us out and set us up. That's him. I don't want to be in the pit. But guess what? When things are going on, there's a whole lot of pit around me. And it stinks. Right? No, there's just a lot of junk. But if I complain to God, or if I say, God, I need your help. Take you up. Put you on top. So who are you talking with? You know, who are you talking with? Are you talking with your friends about your problems? All you're doing is making them bigger and making them last longer. Because they're going to ask you a week from now, hey, how's that going about with your husband and how he was acting like that? Is your husband still looking at porn? Because I really have you on my heart. No, we've had a really great week, but I don't know. Now I'm really questioning all this, and now I'm just struggling, and now I'm just having this day, and now I'm in a pit because he didn't call me. Why didn't he call me? Well, he's out on a job, but maybe he's not on a job because of this, and we repented in church last week, and he came, he was honest with me when he never normally is honest with me, and his heart was to do this, but now I see this, but you don't even see clearly because you're in a pit, and you were up on a hill, but guess what? Because you talk with the wrong people. Most of our things we're to talk about are to be talking about him. All right, 7:56. All right. And then number three. It says, rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. So give thanks, because this is the will of God for you. So what do you have to be thankful for? You know, sometimes you're not gonna thank him. He didn't say, thank you, Lord, for letting my tire pop on the side of the road. You're teaching me something today. No. He said, give thanks in all things. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't go off the road. Thank you, Lord, that there's somebody on their way. Thank you, Lord, for those great friends that I can call at any time. Thank you, Lord, that you meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Lord, when I know the dishwasher broke or this or that. It doesn't matter. Let's thank him for something. Thank you, Lord, for a loving wife. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, you know what I'm talking about? In all things, give thanks. So, have you been saying thank you? Did you say thank you? How many times do we have to tell our kids, hey, Did you say thank you? Well, here's me tonight talking to me, but talking to you. Did you say thank you? Did you say thank you in those moments? Thankfulness will completely change your everything. Just like that. Thanksgiving. We enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. It literally gets us in the gate. Listen, we can have all... Have you ever seen like these movies? Like, remember the Hidalgo? Anybody ever seen that movie? There was a movie. It was a horse, and it was a guy's Mustang, and he went over to the race the Arabian horses. And anyway, I think it was called Hidalgo. Anyway, and it was back in like the 1800s. They had horse races across the big desert. Anyway, and there was this big sandstorm coming, and he was going as fast as he could. Why? Because if I could just make it to that walled city, if you get caught in that storm, you're toast. But if I can make it to the walled city, if I can get in the gate. And in that movie, here's this cloud of the storm. It's about to take him over. And just as it overtakes him, he gets in the gate. And he's safe. Thanksgiving. Thank you. Enter his gates. Thanksgiving in your heart. Lord, thank you. Whew. Take you out of the storm. In a moment. This is the word. Who is it? Satan will always come to you and talk to you about what you don't have, who you don't. Oh, this is, but he never will talk to you about all that you do have so that you get thankful. Never. So, order brings things. Order brings peace. We were talking about that. And, I'm going to jump all the way down to here. How many of you know, real quick, on order? Order is not just having all the pieces in one place, right? Order is having all the pieces that are in that place numbered correctly, right? And tonight I was going to have, some different things representative, like baseball, a phone, just different, and we have all of them in our life, but if they're not in the right order, it's just really a mess. It's not wholeness at all. But anyway, so often what happens is in our lives, it's like we get pulled in so many directions and there's so much going on right now that we don't take time to reflect at what has what number on it. How many of you know it's important to know what has what number on it? Because if he's first, remember what he said? He said all the rest will come in line. The first thing, first must be first. I can tell you this, when all hell's breaking loose in my life, God's not number one in the moment. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like when hell's getting to me, like when it's, when I say it's all, it's not, I'm not saying things don't ever go wrong. I'm saying when it's gotten not just around me, but it starts to get in me, rest assured, your time with the Lord in the morning has gone away. Your time of the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing, it's gone. Because other things have got your time, other things have got your attention, other things have a different number on them, things have gotten out of order, and your life becomes a mess. Tell you, the quickest way to get your life a mess when it is in order is get the things in your life out of order, like numbering them. So here, everything in life so great. God's so good, faithful, this. Here, God's number one, okay? But you know what we're going to do? We're going to put baseball here. Won't be long. Things will get real messed up. Your marriage is great. Everything was bad, and marriage was, but God did a restoration work. Forgiveness was in our hearts and love, and we're together again, and we're walking hand in hand. But you know what we're going to do? God was here. You know what? I'm going to put you. We're just going to go on a date tonight. We're just going to go hang out, just you and me. You know what? We're going to go watch this. And you know what I'm talking about? Won't be long, because God's got you all in order. Won't be long when you get things out of order, it'll be a mess again. Well, that's not God's best. All right. So I want to look at this verse I was talking about at the beginning. Remember 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, diligence. I was just thinking about that earlier today about you can't get there now, but what you do now will get you there. Like sometimes we're like, well, Pastor Nate, you're talking about peace, and I have all this or this. Listen. I'm not saying, here's abracadabra, okay? I'm saying you may not get there now, but what you do now will get you there. So let's start heading in the right direction, all right? So so here's the deal. So we're talking about ordering things, and so I want to read two definitions of order tonight. So it says the arrangement or position of people or things in relation to one another. So how many of you know, you and I, to have order, they have to be arranged properly. So it's the arrangement. Order is the arrangement or position of people or things in relation according to a particular sequence, pattern, or method. So if you put all the red ones, or if you put all the green ones, or if you put them in order by number, or put them in order by alphabetical order, or however. So that's the order. But order is not just an arrangement. Order is actually an authoritative direction. Our life, let me tell you, it's gonna take you and I using our authority, like putting your foot down, as my mom would say. I'm putting my foot down. You're not doing that, so I'm putting my foot down. No. If I'm gonna have things in the right order, and I can only have things in the right order when I understand the plan, the future. Okay, the plan is the future. Okay. The future is the plan. When I look at the future, not just the now, only by having the future in mind can I put things in the right order, and can I command them? And can I give them that authority? No. As for me and my house, I know this sounds like we have it on all of our walls, not everybody, but you know, you see it when you walk into people's house, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was authority speaking. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that was a command. Well, that's the same way we have to be for the things of God. And not only for the things of God, but listen, for my wife. Listen, you got to order it. You have to order it. No one can order your life. God has the master plan. And so that's how you go, okay, that's the plan. Oh, that's what it's to look like. Okay, that's what it's to look like. Okay, so you're number one. Okay, so wife is number two. Okay, I thought my kids were number two. No, okay, my wife's number two. Okay, okay, three. Okay, four. Okay, five. So I'm going to take that master list by looking at that, but then I have to say it. Johnny's mom's running them all over town for this. I know it's your date night, but can't you just skip that? Because I want to go to the movies over here. Since when are you? No. Use your authority and put the things in the right order, and your life won't be a mess. But you're going to have to make sure you have the future and his plan in mind instead of just right now. Have you ever noticed how right now, I got to be there right now, Mom. I got to be there right now, Mom. I got to be there right now, Mom. Everything has to stop and everything gets frantic. Anybody been there? Is that only my house? Like, is it like when it's got to be now? It's like everything just all of a sudden freaks out. And then it's like, there's no longer any tone of, hey, can you do that, honey? It's, get out the door. Hey, grab that. Why are you yelling? I'm not yelling at you. Yes, you are. You're yelling at me. Well, I'm not trying to. Will you just shut your mouth and just go do that right now? Slamming the doors. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Golly. That happens. It's real, right? And then just in a moment, where everything was great because of the wrong order, because of what? Valuing the wrong piece. Valuing the wrong piece. All of a sudden, what was right set up now just got turned upside down. And now you get to come home and pick up the pieces. All right. So, out of order simply means broken. Just remember that. Out of order simply means broken. Put it on the pop machine. Put it on the Coke. Put it on the candy bar machine. Put it on a stall in the bathroom. When it says out of order, it means it's not working. It means it's broken. And so if we would realize that even just one piece out of order, it says broken. Just one piece. Oh, the toilet, it's just that the water valve on the toilet is broken and it doesn't turn on. We'll keep using it. It's just one piece. Your life is going to get real stinky in a hurry. All right. All right, we're going to end with this scripture. It says this, so teach us to number our days. This is Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. And this is something that, oh gosh, a year ago that I wrote down, and I just wanted to share it again because I felt like it was timely. But when he says teach us to number our days, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The New English Translation says this. It says, so teach us to consider our mortality, like there's an end. Teach us to remember that there's an end, and then we might live wisely, that we might live wisely. So what is he saying there? And these are these last three things. Teach us. If we're going to have peace in our home, we're going to have to ask the Lord, teach us. Show me that number. What was that again? Okay, what was that again? Because you had the master plan. What was that again? Okay, that's number one. Okay, we're going to put that. So teach us. And then when he says teach us, he'll also say, hey, bud, that's number one. But that one over there that you have is number three, that's actually number two. So, Lord, teach me. If I want peace in my home, Lord, teach me. Teach me to look at your plan. Teach me to keep an eye on and remember that I'm looking at the future and the plans that bring hope and that praise would be in my mouth and that I'd rejoice always and that I'll be talking with you. Lord, teach me, remind me, Holy Spirit, Comforter. He said, my advocate that I'm going to send, you know, in my name. He said he's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring to remembrance the things I've spoken to you. He's going to be an advocate, a strengthener, standby, just your very present help in time of need. It's better that I go away because he'll always be there. Lord, be that teacher. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Be my teacher. Remind me when I begin to go off the track, you know. Don't let me derail. Like, Lord, my heart, just be sensitive. Teach me. Correct me. Okay? So then let me, Lord, have your way, correction. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't speak because you won't receive correction. Or he's already talked to you about it. And we want God to say something or do something or whatever. But he wants to come to you, but what he's come to you with, that's not what you want. But what he's coming to you with is what you want. It's the only way. And so, Lord, correct. Lord, have that. I give you permission to correct me. Not for pastor to correct me. Okay? Oh, but if the word's being taught, then you believe the Lord sets you in a place in a body. Well, then the word coming out should be able to bring correction. But more than anything, Lord, you teach me. Lord, you correct me. Lord, show me if there's something out of order. If I've put my job above my family because I'm trying to get this peace, but all the while not, you know, in a sense avoiding or not avoiding, but just abandoning true peace. Lord, help me get that in order. Correct me. Show me how to get that back. You know, the Rubik's Cube. Sometimes it's almost like a Rubik's Cube. You can't solve it. But if he says, take that one, turn it right. Take this one, turn it left. Take that one, turn it right. Take this one, turn it left. Turn this one all the way over and then flip it upside down. And you go, how did you do that? I don't know. But he knows. He knows. So, Lord, correct me. When I make one wrong move, correct me. And then... And then he says, teach us the number of days so that we may live wisely or that we may have understanding. Now, James 1:23 tells us this. He says, when we look into the word of God is like a mirror. And he says, well, we'll just put it up there. For if anyone is a hearer of the word only, so he says something, right? Lord, and so this is how he corrects. He's always going to speak to our heart. So he's going to bring direction. He's going to bring correction. So direction is pointing you in the right way. Okay, that's direction. This is the way. This is how you go. Correction is turning you from the wrong way to the right way. So he's going to speak to you. You say, nope, not that way. He's going to point you in the right way. He says, but if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Okay, goes on to say this, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. So here's what he's basically saying. This whole passage is basically saying this, that the word of God is a mirror. It allows us to see wisely, or it allows us to see with wisdom, with understanding. The word lets us see. It's a reflection. It's just like a mirror when you go into the bathroom. It lets you see what adjustments need to be made. What do I need to do here? And so it's really our reflection. That's what when we look into the word and we let the reflection, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can live wisely. Okay, so if that's the end, okay, and I know I only have that much days. Wisdom would say, okay, so let me look at that for a little bit. Wisdom would say this. Okay, wisdom would say that. So the reflection, and this is the word, the statement that I had written down a while ago, and I still really like it, and it's this. It's, I'll say it two ways. Direction is so you know how. Correction is what you should do now, okay? But reflection allows you to see now. And here's the statement. It is reflection, It is the reflection. It is you and I taking time to look into the mirror of the Word. It is reflection that causes correction, even when direction could not alter our course. It's reflection. It's reflection, and it's that time with Him that can bring the correction when the direction couldn't. How many times has God told us to do something or given us direction for our family, but we don't alter our course because we know better. And so we start going the wrong way. So it is reflection. It's seeing for ourselves. It's that time with Him. It's not just hearing it, but it's, Lord, what are you saying? It's that time in the Word where the Holy Spirit, because the Word is alive. It's that time with Him as a family. If I'm going to value the right peace, I'm going to have to first and foremost make sure I have a clear picture of what matters. What matters? Because if I'm seeing clearly, if I'm seeing that reflection, it can do what somebody telling me can't. Even when I see, it's the reflection. And so that's what, if we value in the right peace, what's valuable? What in my life, in my family, is there anything out of order, Lord? As you said, you have direction, Lord, show me. Show me, Lord, show me the direction for this next step and this next season of my life. And I believe you brought this about. But Lord, show me the direction how to walk through this time and this summer. Lord, show me direction on how to keep you first. Lord, show me direction on this. Lord, I'm asking. I desire, Lord, our family, it's not mine, it's yours. Lord, we're submitted to you. And then, Lord, I know there's just some things we keep hitting show me how to correct that. Show me how to correct that. And then just, I think the more than anything, it's that reflection time. A few years ago, I taught a message, and I thought about teaching this one. This one will make a Wednesday night this year. But I taught on the Sabbath, And the Bible says there's actually only two of the Ten Commandments that made it in from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Both of them were the do's, not the do nots. It says, do, honor your father and mother. And then he says, hey guys, there remains yet a Sabbath. There remains yet a Sabbath. You have to have that time of rest for yourself. If you don't have that time of rest, you can't operate from a place of strength, of wholeness. And so this is that time, even, on our day-to-day, having just, even if it's just 5 minutes of just Facebook away, phone in the other room, everything else, and you just go sit on the front porch, in the car, bite everything off, and just talk with the Lord. Just be quiet. Just reflect. And the Holy Spirit will be so good to you and me to bring things to our remembrance, to speak to us about our future, to talk about where we're going, to talk about where we shouldn't be going, all of those things. And so I think reflection more than anything, it's the key. It's the key. It's the key to having peace or having the right canvas for you and I to build off of and to build from a place that we're satisfied. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we love you so much. You're so good. You're so faithful to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us tonight, for bringing just deliberate and direct and personal truths to us tonight. And we just plead the blood of Jesus over those. We thank you that you bring those back to our remembrance, those things that you spoke to us where it was like, yeah, that's it. We thank you that you bring those back. And Lord, we just say that we are doers of your word. We're not hearers only. So we thank you both for the ability and the desire that you place within us to do your word. And we just honor you. We lift up every marriage right now in the name of Jesus. Why don't you just lift your hands to heaven? We lift up every marriage. Let's pray for those to your right and to your left. Father, we lift up every marriage and every family right now. And right now, we just plead the blood of Jesus over them. We thank you that there is no weapon formed against them that'll prosper. We thank you for a reignition of your love in that marriage, not just a what you can do for me, but what I can do for you kind of love. I thank you for just eyes that see, just good in each other. Thank you, Father, for eyes that see good in our children, that, and a mouth and words that know how to call out the best. Thank you for restoration. Thank you that you're working even now on hearts. And we thank you, Father, for these families, every family represented here tonight. We thank you that you are our supply. You supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so we call these families, everyone blessed. And we say this with me, say, we have more than enough to give unto every good work. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We're going to receive tonight's tithes.